Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, for the last 2 months, we've been going through a lot of things in Hong Kong, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to not lose hope, Lord, to pray always, Lord, and believe, Lord, that the world is in your hands, Lord, and all of us are in your hands, Lord. And you want us, Lord, to pray and continue to persist and to believe, Lord, that you're going to do mighty things in Hong Kong, Lord, just for your name's sake and for your people's sake, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A whole new world. A whole new world emerged for me in 2008, which is like 11 years ago, when I moved from USA to Hong Kong. And after living there for 21 years, becoming a USA citizen. So I'm a 外国势力, huh? I'm a foreign power. Now, Hong Kong is the gateway to China and the Pearl of the Orient. And most importantly, my wife's hometown. I was born in Malaysia, so I had no choice because my wife said to me in 2007, if you're not going, I'm going alone. So that's the ultimatum. When I came to Hong Kong, I started teaching in the seminary for 3 years. Before, I was only a pastor. But after 3 years, people from USA who knows me, because I taught part-time in seminary before, asked me to go to missions. So after 3 years, I went to missions. And I won't say where, okay? But in 2013, my wife had breast cancer, and she asked me not to go anymore. She passed away 3 years ago. And so from 2013, I joined this church as a full-time pastor back to where I began. Last month has been very special for me because I met four young students who were in their 20s, early 20s, when I taught them long time ago. One of them was with a group of farmers, and he was one of the very few young people. And now he's leading a church by himself. And the other one is also now graduated and also leading a church by himself. When I know them, they were just small, I can say, young little chaps, okay, in the early 20s, staying in the church, the first floor of a church, from Monday to Fridays, and they cannot come out. Only on weekends they can go to church for security reason. So for those 3 years, I visited them once a year. And one of them told me, you know, another student of yours will be coming to Hong Kong in 2 weeks' time, which is 2 weeks ago. Say, they want to see you. So I was very touched because all these young men had become leaders by themselves, leading a church where there's a lot of persecution. And I praise God that I moved out of my comfort zone and came to Hong Kong and to be able to do all these ministries, teach in seminary, and to meet all these young men who are now leading churches of their own. Have you ever moved out your comfort zone and moved into a new world? Have you made that choice by yourself and not being pushed to do it? Have you done it proactively, missionarily, and also in hope that God's gospel will move to places you haven't imagined before? In Acts chapter 8, the gospel was slowly preached outside of the Jerusalem walls to Samaria. In chapter 11, some people from Cyprus went to Antioch and speak to Greek-speaking people who are non-Jews. And so the gospel began from Jerusalem to Samaria to now to Antioch. And now Paul is being moved by God to go into strange lands. He moved out of his comfort zone in a big way. Now he had to meet new people, he had to mentor new people, he had new lands to explore, and he also saw a vision. And he went to a place where there are lots of new customs and practice that he had to get used to. And have you ever been used by God to do that? Do you want to do that? To be able to go to places to disciple a new person in Christ? To mentor young people who have the gospel, but they don't have skills and they don't have the companionship to go with them? And do you want to go to a new land whereby your partners are ladies who got involved in discipleship in the big way? These are all the experiences that Paul and his team have in Acts chapter 16. What we read just now was verses 6 through 10. But let me tell you, this is a big, big venture for Paul. Because just before chapter 16, the dream team of Paul and Barnabas broke up. Just the last verse. And now Paul is by himself. And for him, it's a big new challenge he never imagined before. Now, let me share with you 3 points from this passage. Okay, the first is that because when you go out to this whole new world God moves you to, first of all, you have to strike a new partnership. Strike the right partnership. And where is this new partnership going to come from? There are young people to mentor. There are new people to meet. Let's read verses. We'll take a bulletin with you. Okay, you have it here. Verses 1 through 5. Ready? We're going to read loud and clear. Okay, no mumble, mumble, mumble. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium speak well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who live in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. There was a very famous pastor by the name of Dr. F.B. Meyer. And he was a very famous expositor, and people always go to the church. And one time he went to India to spend a few months to teach and train. As he was coming back, all the people who supported him in missions were very curious about his tour in India. And they asked him this question: how do you define India's need? What can we do for India as a missionary? And he used to say this. He said, were I a young man again, I would go to India and I would find 12 young men. I'll live with them, and I pray with them and teach them the Bible, inspire them, and then I send out the 12 person to evangelize India. Everyone thought that's crazy because there are millions of people in India. You're supposed to go to all these millions of people, right? And then the person curiously asked, "And what would you do then after you have after you train those 12 young men?" And F.B. Meyer said, "I would find 12 more." It's as simple as that. Okay. For missions to proceed, for the church to grow, all you have to do is not train everybody, is to train the people to be able to train others. That is the key to discipleship. I always pride myself in coming to this church that I didn't come here to be a full-time pastor. Okay, I started out half-time to be a mentor to our young co-workers before I end up full-time doing language ministry, including Mandarin and English. That's what I was doing. I would spend a lot of time with the young men in this church to train them, preaching, teaching, and walk with them. An African proverb said, If you want to go fast, you go alone. You want to go far, you go together. Okay? There's no way for you to do the job by yourself. You've got to find young people, you've got to find the right partnership in order for the church to grow. Now, Paul's ministry was incomplete without doing this. In chapter 15, I told you that broke up with Barnabas, and the only young man in the team was Mark, and Barnabas took Mark with him. So Paul, now he had a new challenge. He didn't think about the new challenge until he met a young man. Who is that young man? Timothy. Okay. Now, to take somebody under your wings, okay, especially a younger person, under your tutelage, is not an easy thing. What do you have to do? You got to spend time with them. Okay, and young people, you got to show your trust. Okay, if they smell distrust, okay, they're going to shy away. And as a mentor, what are you going to do? You don't get them to do things. You got a part of your success is to serve them so that they understand what is service. Now, Paul took a big risk when he took Timothy to the high seas. And not only for a few days, and end up for a few months and years. And for somebody to follow you for that long as a mentor, as a disciple, as a leader, you cannot be too casual. You cannot be too careless with people's lives. And you cannot be too complacent about the life around you. But Paul was very, very wise in picking up Timothy. And because Timothy has just the right credentials, the right, and Paul set the right example, and Paul has the right experience to encourage this Timothy to grow. And who was Timothy? In the NIV, you wouldn't know. In the NIV, you read it, it sounds like the mother was the disciple, right? But in Greek, Timothy was the disciple. Okay, I don't know how they do it. Okay, but Timothy himself was the disciple. And his parents, the mom was a Christian. And in fact, if you read 2 Timothy, the mom and grandmom were devout Christians. But Paul picked Timothy because Timothy was not somebody who is like a clueless young person. He was a disciple by himself. And Paul saw he was a very devout and godly young man. And so Paul said, this is the kind of person that God is going to use in the kingdom. And so, what do we know about him? From now on, he's going to set the right example. But of course, he wants Timothy, and he brought Timothy the right way so that he can be accepted into the Jewish community, okay, including circumcision. And what he saw in Timothy was a disciple firsthand. Okay, that faith to Timothy was firsthand, was fresh. Okay, and faith was very important to Timothy. And God, and Paul saw that he can use this kind of person in the ministry. And for why was faith so essential to Timothy at this point? Because if you look at Paul's life, he's been to Lystra 3 times. Okay, and one time he was stoned and left for dead. But still, he went. He didn't die. He rose up, and then he went to another city. And Paul has this never say die and over my dead body attitude. And what did he do? He came back to the city, and he strengthened the disciples, encouraged them to persist. And so Timothy has this example in Paul, who was never giving up despite of what happened. You guys thinking of immigration in Hong Kong now? No, never give up, okay? Because God plants you here for a reason. And so Paul experienced all the worst thing, but he came back. And in coming back, he saw this young man that's full of potential. If he had never come back, there wouldn't be a Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy in the Bible. But Paul persisted. If you think Hong Kong is bad, Paul was left for dead and stoned. But he came back, and even after he went to another city, he came back and not fear all the conflict that he had. Okay, so it's very, very important that in the ministry, in this whole new world we are facing, we don't do it alone. Okay, if you know Pastor Yap's ministry, I never do it alone. Okay, we always have Peter, we have Timothy, Jeff, and all these people. They're always here to shine for the Lord. Okay, me, I always dart over to the Mandarin side. I dart to wherever they need me. Okay, and it's always all these young, all these people, all these other co-workers who are carrying the work. Okay, I'm just come in and touch and go. Okay, but they are the ones who are carrying the main load. Okay, and second, you have to find the right partners with you, including young people. And secondly, to submit to the Spirit. Okay, submit to the Holy Spirit. Now this, why we are picking this passage? This passage picked for me. I didn't pick the passage because every month we are going through one text that talks about Spirit. Okay, so the text they chose for me is this. But I saw that verse 6 by itself cannot carry verse 6 by itself. I have to go back to Timothy. Introduce you Timothy. And in this whole new world, I love this passage. It's because Paul not only met a young man, he was also open to Spirit. And when he was open to Spirit, he not only met a youth, he met a stranger. Let's look what happened. Let's read verses 6 through 11 again. 1, 2, 3. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having kept by the Spirit from preaching the word in the promise of Asia. When they came to the border of Asia, they hired to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had caused rich gospel. From there, we put to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we entered Neapolis. Now, after Paul and Barnabas broke up, Paul found that a lot of new challenges. The missionary team didn't die without Barnabas. So Paul picked himself up, and look at it, what did he find? He find a young man who was eager to preach the gospel. And that young man is Timothy. And the second thing, he find a stranger he didn't know. He hasn't even seen that stranger. It happened to him in a vision. And just as he find that the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them to go to a lot of places, and said, "What am I to do?" And then in a vision in the night, there was a man from Macedonia coming to call him to come over and help us. And that was the way that God wanted them to do. There are some quotes about what and when you come to a dead end. Okay, let's read one of them. Do you have them? Okay, let's start from bottom top. 1, 2, 3. If life doesn't break you today, don't worry, it will try tomorrow. When you come to a roadblock, take a detour. When you come to a dead end, don't cry, because it's time for you to take another direction. When plan A does not work, keep calm, take a deep breath, and remember, the alphabet for sure has one or the other letter left for you. If life throws you a few bad notes, don't let them interrupt your song. If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. When life knocks you down, roll over and look at the stars. Okay? Just when everything it seems to be no way, God will open up a new way for you. In Acts, Acts is a very wonderful book because Acts is about a book of visions. Okay, a word that occurs only one time. Visions occur only one time in the elsewhere in the Bible, only in Matthew. But 11 times in the book of Acts by itself. Okay, and in this chapter, in verse 9 and verse 10, already 2 times. Okay, so Acts is a wonderful book because it talks about God having them see something beyond what the limited physical vision can see. And it was a first time for Paul himself. He had never seen a vision before. Okay, previously in Acts, Ananias saw a vision, Cornelius saw a vision, Peter saw a vision. But this is the first time that Paul experienced a vision for himself. And you can like it or not, but it's the first time. It's a far and foreign vision land to distant cities, to diverse cultures, and even dangerous chaos. Do you want to be used by God? I always say to people, I don't want to see visions, okay? People like to see visions, not me, okay? Because I know how dangerous it is, okay? You'll be inspired to go, okay? Paul's vision was not mystical, you know, yabba yabba do kind of vision, not mystical, mysterious, but a missionary project to a faraway land. It was directed by the Spirit. And you know what the Spirit did? Forbade Paul and his people from spreading the gospel in Asia and from enter Bithynia. And those two places are in the same continent. Okay? And God's Spirit did not allow them to go. And today we're going to talk about God's Spirit a little bit, because that was a theme given to me. And from this passage, I have deduced fourfold role of the Holy Spirit today, in the world today. You have that slide? Okay, now the first thing is that the Holy Spirit restrains evil. Okay. Whenever the Holy Spirit is there, evil is contained to a certain point. Okay, so we are not afraid of what is happening in Hong Kong. Okay, because where the Spirit is, evil is contained. Do you know in Revelation, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Wherever there's evil, Holy Spirit is everywhere at work. Okay. Second thing about Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit rebukes sin. So we don't fear, because the Holy Spirit is always by our side. He will reveal to us sin. Okay. The third thing about the Holy Spirit at work in God's word today is that helps us to rebuff heresies. You know, in church, there are a lot of heresies because a lot of people without followers, they come to the church to look for followers. But the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, will help us to have the right doctrine to rebuff all these heresies. And in this chapter 16, the Holy Spirit helps us to reserve judgment. They didn't know, but they were forbidden to go to the province of Asia, not the continent, okay? And they were forbidden to go to Bithynia. So they have to reserve judgment. They cannot just barge in where God's Spirit did not lead them. When we say when in doubt, what's the word? No. Right? When in doubt, throw it up. When in doubt, just reserve your judgment. And that's what the Holy Spirit did for them. And finally, the Holy Spirit reveals the direction they have to go. And the direction was in the way of a Macedonian man. Okay? Have you heard of this city? Have this place called Macedonia? It's in Europe. Recently, there was a big trouble because of the name, right? They're trying to change the name. Now, what happened was that their travel in their continent went to a dead end. They wanted to go north. Okay, Bithynia is in the north, and they have everywhere to go, but they never thought about going across the sea that divides Turkey to Greece. It's called the Aegean Sea. Okay. And the Macedonian man is across the sea. So they never thought about going across, even though there are people from Cyprus who came to plant the church in Antioch. But they had never thought of going so far away. Okay. And they never thought of going west to this. So they have to go to Macedonia. Do you know how far it is? I went to the web. You have to go 150 miles by sea. Do you know when Hudson Taylor went to China? You know how long it took him to go by sea? It took him 6 months to travel by sea, to risk the gospel for us. Okay. And so Paul was standing and hearing this Macedonian man from Macedonia. I don't know how he knew he was from Macedonia. Must be very good languages, okay. And then this man keep calling him to come over and help us. Would you travel 150 miles if God wants you to go by stormy seas? Okay. And do you know he was taking Timothy, right? It's an arduous, abrupt, a very, very adventurous trip, but it was a very, very long trip. I had a stroke through last year, and my right leg is numb, so I cannot sit more than 1 hour. I have to stand up a lot. Okay, so can you imagine? You have to go 150 miles, bumping your bottom to high seas until you go to this place. Okay, so it's a very, very big challenge for them. And basically, as a traveler, you know, you just cannot go. You have to be fit, right? You have to be fearless, because through all these choppy seas, you cannot get frustrated. Okay, you cannot say how long more, how far. You cannot do that. Okay, you have to go by faith. Okay, one of our pastors recently went on a boat cruise from Vancouver to Alaska, and he always complained, you know, oh, how stuck it is in the ship, how sick, you know, they were, how stressed they were. I wish they didn't go. Okay, so can you imagine going on this trip? But what prompted them to go? In verse 9, can you go into the verses? If you see on verse 9, there's a red word. Okay, now what does red indicate? Those who have listened to me before, what is that? What's that Greek word? It's an imperative. Okay, in Greek itself, the stem, the end of the word changes. And you note from changes, this is like an imperative. It is like a command. It's like a high order. Okay, but it's more like a plea. Help! Help! Okay, it was strong. It was sure. Plea. It was a stirring plea. And it disturbed Paul through the night. And he couldn't sleep. He couldn't do nothing except hear the voice in his mind. And what did it do? It redirected his course. And now he knows why the Spirit of God didn't want him to go to Asia or didn't want him to go to Bithynia, because this is the place, this is the stranger he wanted to meet. Okay, he met a young man already. Now he met this stranger. And this word is very, very stirring for me. It's very inspiring, okay? Because this imperative, same verb as an imperative, occurs only two times in the Bible. Okay? And who is this person? The first person is the Canaanite woman who came before Jesus and said, Lord, help me. And of course, Jesus said that, I cannot give to you what is for Israel, right? But give me the crumbs, the lady said. This is the word, Lord, help us. And the second time is through the father of the young man who was demon-possessed, who threw him through the fire. Okay, and the father of the young man came to Jesus and said, help us. And then he said to Jesus, I do believe, but help my unbelief. This is the two episodes. So can you imagine? The person from Macedonia said the same thing. Very inspiring. And so couldn't sleep. He had to go. Okay, and so in this new world, it was very inspiring for him, but he had to go because God, through the vision, prompted him to go 150 miles west, taking not only Timothy this time. If you see in the Bible, from now on in Acts, there's what we call a we passage. Instead of saying I, it changed to we. And who is the we? Who's the author of Acts? Luke. He was very wise. He knew he needed a what? He needed a professional. And who is that professional? He needed a doctor, okay? So now he had brought in a young man. Now he brought in a doctor to go with him for this missionary journeys, so that they can also do some medical missions, okay? And he did not decide. And in Acts 15, you will see that Paul not only broke up with Barnabas, Paul took another person on the trip. Who was the person? Paul and Silas, okay, the one who sang with him in the prison in the same chapter later in Philippi. And so you cannot do it by yourself. You met the new partners, and now he had met a stranger on the road, okay? And the stranger called him to help us. So in this brave new world, Paul is open to a lot of things God wants him to do, to mentor, to disciple new people, new believers, not only young, okay, but also Silas and also Luke. And now he's open to a strange new world whereby people speak in Macedonian or Greek or whatever, not Jewish. Told a person he'd never seen, just crying out to him, come over and help us. Help us, help us, help us. And he decided he wanted to go. And the God's Spirit was with them. What happened? Immediately they went. And they went there through rough seas, But praise the Lord, it was a smooth journey. And he knew that God was with them throughout verse 11, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and next day we went on to Neapolis. Okay, survive one whole day of bumping, okay, to reach Macedonia. There were Jews there, but they never thought about going such a far way to preach the gospel. And finally, okay, the third thing, when you open up to this new world, you step into a new territory. Let's read verses 12 to 15. Ready? You gotta read louder to drown out the music, okay, whatever that was. 1, 2, 3. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that city of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now, from now on, Paul stepped into a new culture where people practice different customs and they have different belief system. Okay. There was a world survey that was conducted by the UN. And the only question asked was this question. You see, is that, would you please give your honest opinion about solutions to the food shortage in the rest of the world? Okay, this is the question. And how did the cultures of the world respond? In Africa, they don't know what the word food means. In Eastern Europe, they don't know what the word honest means. I hope there's none from Eastern Europe here, okay? In Western Europe, they don't know what shortage means. In China, they don't know what opinion means. In the Middle East, they don't know what solution means. In South America, they don't know what please means. Oh, I'm trouble. In USA, they don't know what the rest of the world means. Okay, you can get back me on the last one. This is a joke I found on the internet. Now, for Paul to go to Macedonia is a place of complete unknown, okay? And he saw people who are not like him, very, very much unlike him, and people who had not met before. So Paul had a change of strategy, very different from previous places before. In previous places, he always go to the synagogue, meet all the men of the city. But now, he had strategy, change of heart. Who did he meet? A woman. Okay, a godly woman. He didn't go to a synagogue. Okay, he didn't have a capture audience like you who hear him. Okay, he had to go and try different things. He had to relax by the sea, because he know that was where the women were in prayer. So went and meet them instead of having them to come to him. He went and meet them. Okay, and it is understandable because the Jews didn't want to be in such a faraway land to congregate in a place whereby they attract attention and envy and also conflict with other people. So they pray various places, including by the riverside where the ladies were gathered. Okay, and it's very, very interesting. Okay, this women, okay, they're very godly, and the Paul had changed his mind. Why don't I reach out to this godly woman and they will help me to spread the gospel? Isn't that true? Yeah. In the church, usually 70% are ladies, okay? 30% are men. And they are your partners, okay? Don't offend them, okay? But in the synagogue, so far as you look, ladies were never present. They were untouchables. They were not allowed to meet with men. So Paul had to change his strategy. He went to meet them instead. Okay, and so women play a very, very important role in the gospel, especially in Europe. OK, okay? And as you look at Acts, it's very, very interesting. You have groups of women, you have widows, but they were never women by name. There were Greek women who believed, but there were no names, okay? Until now, beginning from now, there's a lady by the name of Lydia. And later, there are a few women that were named, but up to here, there were no named women in the Bible, I mean, in Acts. Because in Jewish culture, they don't play a central role. But Paul was very, very wise. He said, now we're no longer in Jerusalem. I'm going to reach out to them and give them the same equal opportunity the men had always had. Okay? And two things stand out in this grammar. And you work with ladies, you have to know how they work. Okay? Verse 15. Can we go back to this verse slide with the red? Yeah, the text with the red. There's another imperative. What's the imperative at the last stay? Who said this word? Lydia. And you work with ladies, what do they give you? Commands. This is an imperative. Okay? Stay at my house. But it's very, very nice of her. Okay? Because she knew they cannot afford it before men. But she, as a woman of faith, she used her wisdom and her authority to command the man to stay at her house. Isn't that wonderful? You know their characteristics. They do it out of care. And sometimes I always defend my wife. She do it out of fear. Even her comments are out of fear. Okay. But they wanted to get things done. Okay. And so she used her imperative on Paul the Apostle. You know, but it happened, okay? But it was very, very hard for the missionary team because there were at least four people on hand, right? Paul, Timothy, Silas, Doctor, and I don't know who else. So they have to spend money, and there's money saved. And so Lydia, in her wisdom, knew that. And so she commanded him to stay, okay? And what else? Not only the housing, not only about money, it's hosting them, right? Who is going to wash your clothes? Right? Who is going to cook for you? Can you survive every day in Café de Corral, Taikalok? I don't think you can, right? You need to home cooking. So she knew that, right? Not just about lodging, it's about laundry and all those basic stuff. And, you know, you have to give her credit, you know. Look at the word servant. Does she have any servants? No. Who did the work? Her household. She had no servants. It's a family who did everything. And so Paul was touched by what she offered, right? And it was not easy, you know. It's her way, after she accepted Christ, she showed her thankfulness and her trust in them, and also her way to show that she wants to be part of the team. And how can you deny her, right? And so finally, she persuaded us, okay? And that word is actually translated in Old King James Version as constrain us, force us, or pressure us, okay? A good pressure, isn't that, okay? If your mom wants to pressure you to do your laundry for you, what are you going to do? Oh, mom, please don't. But then you let her, right? Yeah, that's the way to do it, okay? That's the way with ladies, okay? And she was very understanding. It was they are friendless in this new place, okay? And after that one day straight trip, you know, how fatigued they were and how far from home they were. And so she, out of her woman qualities, okay, constrained him to remain behind, okay? And praise the Lord, okay? She did it because out of her faith, out of her understanding how to be friendly, okay? And of course, Paul didn't take it as an offense. And Paul and his team were very, very happy to have somebody like that on their team, okay? So today we talk about a whole new world. Do you have that whole new world? Do you have people around who you can spend time with? Disciple? or do you live for yourself or for just for your family? No, you got to move out of your comfort zone to disciple some people, mentor them, or spend time with them. Okay? Maybe it's some person you can call, write a WhatsApp, or maybe just a small little card. Okay? But our lives are not for ourselves. Okay? And Paul discovered that. Okay? He broke up with Barnabas. Now he said, oh, you know, and then he picked up another person. And by God's grace, God gave him another person. And he also had Silas and he also Luke. Okay, so look for your Timothy. Look for a person you can help, the young people. And complete strangers. Are you afraid of complete strangers? Most people are, right? But in church, you maybe can go out of your way to say hi to complete strangers. And maybe after developing a friendship with them, you can stay behind church and pray 5 minutes with them. Okay, show that God is, you can share, you can hear about what God is doing with their lives. Maybe it's a struggle, maybe it's a setback, maybe it's a success story. But God can use you to be, I cannot multiply myself 100 times, right? But you can do it. You can spend time with somebody and God can use you to a complete stranger, right? And lastly, is are there some people, are there some ladies in your life who can help you or who have helped you along the way? I know my wife is the biggest success story in my life. She passed away 3 years ago. Okay, but you look at my books, I've come up with 10 books now in Hong Kong, but only in Chinese, sorry. Okay, all my books are with my wife's name. Recently, I had a book in the Mawan Book Exhibition, and I was on the speakers. And the person who introduced my book said, I haven't published a book with a person who's deceased 3 years ago on the name of a book. Okay, but I always insist my wife's name on the book, even after she passed away, because she did the application questions for me. So you always need some ladies around you. Without ladies, we won't have Sunday school. Without ladies, we won't have VBS. Without ladies, we have no lunch. Okay. So you always have to partner with some people around you, right? So just appreciate people for who they are, right? Because people always need encouragement, you know. In fact, in Hong Kong, we could try to say some encouraging things to people, because Chinese by culture, they think that by saying encouraging things to people, they are showing off or something like that. So they always think about advantages and all that. It's not really. You don't maybe pray for God to have a leader in your life who command you to do something. Then it may be better. Then it will work. Okay. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you today, Lord, that you are in this high-stress Hong Kong, there's much conflict, Lord, but you give us good examples in Paul and the team, Lord, that we can reach out to people in this whole new world, Lord. It can be a young man, it can be young people, Lord. You see how desperate they are, Lord, to be befriended and to fight for their freedom. But we know that the only freedom which is pure is in Jesus Christ, Lord. And we pray for complete strangers, Lord. People who come to Hong Kong, or I have been a stranger before, Lord, but there have been brothers and sisters who helped me along the way. And Lord, I pray for godly women in this church, Lord. Without them, nothing gets done. So pray, Lord, that you will use them and help us, Lord, to be able to partner right with them, Lord, that we appreciate their partnership, their participation, and their prayers, Lord. We thank you, Lord, put us in a team whereby we can use all of us to show appreciation to people around us. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.